This podcast is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County and produced by CMJW Entertainment. For context, this episode was recorded back in June of 2025.
You're listening to The Vital Women of Washington Heights.
Welcome back to another episode of Vital Women from Washington Heights living in Dutchess County. Today, we're going to talk about just us and why we're here and how we started and why we want to share our experiences with you guys. But first of all, I want to bring up our sponsor who we are very grateful for, Andrew O'Grady, the CEO of Mental Health America of Dutchess County. They are located at 253 Mansion Street in Poughkeepsie, and they really have good workshops for people that are trying to figure it out, And like Andrew says, there's no health without mental health. So please look, if you need them, just give them a call. They're there for you and for us. And thank you so much for your sponsorship. We appreciate it. So Yvette, and this is Yvette O'Sullivan, my co-host. I forgot to introduce her, but I think by now, if you follow us, you know who she is. Look how beautiful she is. Hi.
Excited that it's just you and I doing the show. Like we like to call ourselves I and I. And, to bring to everybody's attention that this is our 13th episode. So we're doing it. We decided a few months back to bring this podcast to the audience of Dutchess County and to talk about our stories, our struggles, and also to help women, like you said, figure it out because life is not easy. And we are sisters and we're here to support each other.
And let me tell you, I take that to heart when she says that, because, being a sister is just keeping it real in everything we do, and we have to keep it real. And we're learning as we're working together, on how to create that trust and the boundaries and stuff. I wanted to share that because it's important we do that, because we got stronger because we took care of something, And I wanted to bring that up because it's important that we share authentically everything that we do, because we want to be honest. It's not easy showing up and being and committing yourself, but it's important that when you do commit yourself, that you do, that you do what you said you're going to do, because it holds a lot of weight. And I appreciate you, sister, for just kind of realigning me in a way. And, and I really do appreciate that. Thank you. And I wanted to say that because I think it's important that our audience knows that we are still trying to figure it out. But more importantly, we're here to help you also try to figure it out. So Yvette has a bochinche.
You know me, Iris, with my bochinche, como dominicanas que somos. We love bochinche.
Algo, right?
But my bochinches are always positive bochinche, a bochinche to inform people, to bring education. So last month was Mental Health Awareness Month, May. Now we're in June, and I don't know if people are aware, but June is Mental Health Awareness Month. And not only is it Men's Health Awareness Month, it also includes mental health. And what I found interesting is that 19% of men in the U.S. suffer from some form of mental illness. And I like always to compare my research to our Dominican country, nuestra patria, que es
culture,
Santo Domingo.
Culture, yeah.
Our culture. And in doing my research, I found out that in Dominican Republic, 2% of men come forward to say that they're suffering or struggling with some kind of mental illness. And that leads me to think, is it because not enough men are coming out forward, or is it because they're being held back because of their machismo, their culture, and not getting access to the mental health support that they need?
That's such an interesting subject, because that's a personal thing too, for my experience with my family tree, with men and mental health. So I'm happy that you are just talking about it, because more men need to come out and say, I'm not feeling right up here. Who do I talk to? What do? How do I reset myself? And I think that men have a problem doing that because they don't want, it's not that machismo. It's like machismo, You don't say you got a problem with mental health, especially if you're a guy. But I think that more men now, Yvette, are open to that. So hopefully, I'm glad that you really, really touched base on that, because that's something that we definitely want to elaborate on one of our episodes, is how are men dealing with mental health right now? What conversations? Are they going to therapists? Are they going to sound healers? What's the vibe? Because there are a lot of spirited men out there, and I know they're seeking for some calmness within themselves. So I love that you mentioned that, because last month it was all about las mujeres, you know, and mental health. And this month is about men's health and how do they stay strong? But it's also how you stay strong here to be strong here and be strong here. So I'm happy.
And, you know, I want to say to our audience, as we continue to grow and expand as the Vital Women of Washington Heights, we're always unpacking different topics. And this is a very interesting topic to talk about. Not that that's going to be the rest of our show, but this is a very interesting topic to bring to people's attention, especially if you have a partner. But not only a partner, I mean, we have brothers, we have fathers, and men are always involved in our lives. Like I have a son and a grandson, and, you know, when I see my children hurting, I also hurt. So it's very important to have that support for the women, to support men that are struggling through issues.
I'm so happy you said that too, because I have two beautiful, wonderful grandkids, and there's, you know, they're all over the place and they really need to align. So it's interesting how you say you want to help the women understand what's happening with the men in order for them to help them process, because that's, we have to help each other understand how to process. So I'm looking forward how we're going to tap into that and who we're going to bring on and what conversations are we going to say we're going to bring up to, like, how do we, in a very, not invasive, because guys don't be, like to be attacked about spirituality, because, you know, si tú prendes una vela, ya tú eres una bruja. Especialmente si eres dominicano. I'm sorry, I had to add to your bochinche. You know, si tú eres dominicano y ya entras a la casa, ay, pues tú eres bruja porque tú tienes una vela prendida. So we got to tackle this with men on a spiritual level, but on a level that they can link in without going back to judgment on, you got a candle, you're a witch. I'm just saying.
Thank you for bringing that laughter, because it's true. Because yeah, even back, you know, when you look back in history in the 1900s, anybody that thought differently was considered to be a witch. And it just meant that that person was different, that their thought process was totally different. And that still exists today.
But you know, Yvette, that's something that I would really, I just want to talk a little bit about it, but I want us to really unpack that. Like you said, your word is unpack, which I love it. Because you and I, we have a purpose and we are with purpose, you know, but we also practice different things. You know, you go to church, I go to church occasionally, but I'm more of a meditator, more of a person that prays. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're still having these strong conversations about, it's all about spirituality. It doesn't have to do nothing with religion. Right. Nada with religion. It has to do with spirited women getting together and bringing in their spiritual beliefs and putting it all together and see how we can cultivate a beautiful energy. And if men see women working together like that as a, you know, as a team, I think they will be more open to having conversations. For some reason, I'm guided to say that. I don't know why I feel like that makes sense, but I feel like that makes sense because I think that a strong man appreciates strong women. And they listen.
You and I were cultivating a sisterhood. And I think it's very important for men to cultivate a brotherhood. And not just based on spirituality, but to cultivate a brotherhood based on what they're going through. Sharing, hey, you know, I'm having a difficult time with this. I'm having a difficult time with that. It's a lot easier for women to do something like that because we're communicators. And sometimes men don't communicate as easily as women, but it's important. It's important for men to have brotherhoods amongst their group, you know, whether it is their athletic brother and they get together to play basketball. Mm-hmm. But after playing a game of basketball and releasing that physical energy, taking 5 minutes and check on each other and have that conversation, like, how are you doing? What's going on with you? Because we women, we do it all the time.
We do, but check it out, mija. Check it out. And you just don't bring me back to Washington Heights. I don't know about you, but I remember this. Every time the man started to want to have man time with his buddies, the woman would, ¿Para dónde tú vas? ¿Qué tú estás haciendo? Tú entiendes lo que te quiero decir, right? Y esa energía, that energy, handicapped a lot of men because women didn't trust their men because they thought they were cheating on them. They really weren't hanging out with the guys. You know, it was a hot mess and then some. So what did we do? I'm so happy that you said that you want to work with women on how to change that mindset to work better with men. Because we have been Venus and Mars forever and ever and ever. And we need to change that up. You see, now this is turning into like the men's podcast now.
Without having that intention.
I know, but this is what happens because you trigger conversations on things that I really want us to work on. I want us to bring men together and I want us, you know, to bring the right guys together and have those circles. Just like we want to work with women, let's work with guys. Let's bring in a good team.
Not only is June Mental Health Awareness Month, but Father's Day is around the corner also.
Because
it's already, you know, it's already June 6th. It's already June 4th. I'm ahead of a couple of days, but it's June 4th. And I feel that Father's Day is just around the corner. So without having the intentions of creating maybe the first few minutes of our show and having that focus on men, we are doing it naturally. It just led into that conversation.
I love it that this is holistic. This is so holistically done because this is exactly what I always wanted, an intuitive conversation on just let it flow. Whatever comes up, comes up. And I want to share something with you guys because this is something that I'm guided to share. When I was like 14, 13 years old, my grandmother says to me, it's Father's Day. It's going to be Father's Day. Go find a card for your dad. So it was a candy store. You know, the candy used to, vendían batida. They used to have cards, magazines, newspapers, yada, 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 in the Heights.
Yeah, the bodegas had everything, anything and everything you could think of.
I mean, convenient to the convenience. Mm-hmm. So I went over there by the cards and I was looking at Father's Day cards and I was picking them up and I was looking at them and I go back to my grandma and I said, there's not one card that I can pick up for my dad. Because my dad was never there, hardly ever there. He was there on my later part in life. Like what, by the time I came, when I was like 20 years old, that's when he was more involved in my life. But prior to that, he was very in and out. So I was 14, 13 years old. And I said, Mama, but there, no hay nada to represent what I feel. So that's something that we hopefully can switch and change up. Because when you're a female, when you're especially a daughter, you want to look up to your dad. You want that. And men are struggling with that, where their daughters are not respecting them because of a certain energy they have. Either they drink too much or they're womanizers or they scream and yell at their moms. Men have to stop that shenanigans. That's it. I don't want to. You close the deal with the men. That's it. Because I can keep going and going and
but
going.
But I think, you know, before we close that conversation about men, something that you and I were constantly doing is learning about ourselves, researching who we are, who we're becoming, who we were in the past. And I'm involved in doing this study called Nothing is Impossible, because this particular study that I'm doing about myself is to take me to the next level where I want to go. But in approaching that level, one of the things that, or the question that I'm looking at and exploring and unpacking is trust. And the mentor that is working with me said, you know, when you trust, there's only two choices that you can make. You can trust that person or you can choose not to trust that person. And the outcomes may be the same. When you trust that person, that person may do the right thing or may do the wrong thing. And if you decide to distrust that person, the outcome is going to be the same. They may do the right thing. They may do what's negative. So you decide which road you want to take. And my answer to her was, well, I choose to trust. I choose to trust in people. I choose to believe the best in people because that is where God is leading me, is to trust him. And if I trust him, then I have to be able to allow myself also to trust people here on earth, you know, the people that I engage with in relationships. And to bring that back full circle to men, and you brought up the point, you know, it's also where we place them. Because like you mentioned, a lot of the times the wife or the partner may say, where are you going? ¿Para dónde vas? It's because they don't trust. And they don't trust because maybe they had certain relationships growing up with their father that they couldn't trust their father because the father was absent, wasn't there. And now you don't trust your husband. You don't trust your partner at the moment. But it leads to bigger things, is trusting also the people that you come across every day in your life and that you're collaborating with, or, you know, or even trusting when you go to the store to buy something that's, to make it simple, that is, you know, the price of that item and that the person is going to do their job to charge you that particular price without, you know, scheming you. So it has to do with the person. So that's what I'm learning. It comes from within you, how you choose to trust people.
And that's so interesting, Evie, because this is what I'm getting from what you just said, because that's amazing. If you learn to trust yourself and the energy that you're surrendering to, because tú estás viviendo con Dios, because you got God in you, you have to trust that everything that's happening, like you just said, is happening authentically and no question. The minute you plant a negative seed and you go with that, instead of you just trusting with everything that you're doing, that I'm spirited, I know, but I have to believe that I'm doing the right thing. As long as I keep my balance, I keep my structure, I show up with authenticity, I'm going to be fine. Then you have to trust que eso cuesta 5 centavos y tú estás pagando lo que tú tienes que pagar. Que eso se cuesta de un peso y que, you know what I'm saying? Yes. But it's hard to get to where that it's hard. And that's where I'm so happy that you are experiencing that program, that energy, because that's something that you can also bring to me, of course, you know, but share it with everyone else, because that's how it is. So with sisterhood, the more I grow, the more we all grow.
Yeah.
The more Evie grows, the more I grow. We share that experience. We don't hold on to it. Say, no, we say, mira, check it out. And that's what I love, that Yvette. I love that you're doing that, because that's exactly how I roll. I roll that I will share more about what's happening in my life. But that's how I roll. Que todo está pasando for a reason, that everything's happening with purpose. And I don't question it. I'm like, okay. And that's what we have to teach women to really believe in themselves.
Yes, and that is a sisterhood, not holding on to, you know, your knowledge, not holding on to your love. That's why we're here. That's our purpose, is for us to share authentically, like you said, of ourselves with other people.
Absolutely.
And that's how, you want to tell our audience, and that's how the Vital Women of Washington Heights came about.
Okay, so let me share. Can I share? Because
sure,
I really love sharing
sure.
this. I'm fun about it. It's a lot of fun telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because this is how sisterhood starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Sunday. I'm going to the yoga studio. I'm going to, you know, the cave, and I have the radio listening to Mariel from Kingston, who I love, you know, La Voz, by the way, and which we are going to be on. She'll tell you later.
Yes.
She'll share later. And I'm listening to this woman. And she's talking about menopause, and she's talking about this, and she's talking about our ancestors, and she's talking about how we really need to heal this. And I was like, go sister, go sister, go sister, right? So then I come home, and I look at my phone, and there's a text from Yvette. Hey, you know, I would love to talk to you about maybe working together, doing something, cultivating, collaborating on something. And I said, wait a minute, were you not on the radio? And she said, yeah, that was me. I was like, I would love to. So that's love and connection and believing. But prior to that, Yvette and I met at a gathering, thanks to Rocio Shamrock, by the way. We want to thank her for that, because she has a way of bringing women together and then women working together. Like, we're in this beautiful space at the Your CBD store, by the way, in Poughkeepsie. Yvette Sanchez.
Behind the other Yvette Sanchez.
Yvette Sanchez. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had this beautiful gathering, and I met Yvette, and I was like, where are you from? You cutesy. Well, you know, and we just started talking, and we got along so nicely, and we were just like vibing authentically, like no, tú sabes, no dije, oh, nada de eso. And I'm just so happy, because this is how it starts. And then we have a voice now. We together have a better voice and a stronger conversation about how we want to work with our community. And we want to work not only with women, but we want to work with family, and we want to work with community. We want to work with the schools. We just kind of want to share our experiences. Okay. With that said, Yvette, tell them about your nonprofit.
Iris keeps pushing me to talk about my non-for-profit. You know, when you presented that question, I thought about it, and I'm like, why is it that I don't talk about this often? One, because it was painful. It was very painful for me to let it go. And the reason that I needed to let go of the non-for-profit, and I worked very hard to get it started back in 2014, was because in 2017 or 2018, there was a fire in the village of Wappinger Falls. And that fire destroyed all the work that I had done from 2014 because this fire affected the entire block. And due to that, I had to close my non-for-profit. And it was called Abriendo Puertas, Opening Doors.
I love
and it.
It
was for the Latino youth in the village of Wappinger Falls and also the town of Wappingers. Because all my career as a social worker, I have worked with the Latino community. Therefore, I wanted to create my own little space, safe space for the youth to be the next generation, because I had worked with their parents as their social worker, and now I wanted to bring this program for them. And thank you, Iris, for presenting that question, because I had to like really look at myself and say, why is it that you don't talk about it? But it's because of the pain that I had to close it down because of the structural fire. And that is a part of my story. That is a part of my journey. That is a part of who I am. And I have to, because I said to Iris, no, it's because I'm humble and I don't want to talk about it. And she's like, yes, you are humble, but it is part of your history. So here we are. And because of my past history, not only coming from Washington Heights, just like Iris, you know, we created this new podcast, The Vital Women of Washington Heights, to continue to do our work, to continue to bring healing to the community. Because Iris also, you know, as a Reiki master and everything that she has done by owning a healing center, is bringing the same kind of healing that I'm also bringing to the community, just in a totally different aspect.
Yeah. And that's why, that's what's so beautiful about it, that we're having the same conversation, but everyone's listening to different ways of the conversation, mm-hmm. which is what diversity and inclusion means. Right. And right. just including everyone, that we don't all have to be namaste. You know, we can all be like, you know, different energies, but the main thing is helping and trying to heal our community, because our community is dear to me, because I have children, they're going to grow. And I want them to have a better life experience. I don't want the struggles and hustles and bustles that I have. I don't want that. You know, I've learned to manifest a different lifestyle on my journey in my life, because I understand what the struggles were in the past with my parents. And when you're learning and you're being the watcher and you're observing everything that's happening with your parents, and you take a step back when you get older and you start seeing the big picture, you start saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to make those same mistakes. And it took me a while to stop making some mistakes, that it was a pattern within my DNA, within my tribe, within my family. And I'm working on changing that, especially within the daughters and the mujeres, and within my familia, with me, with my daughters, my granddaughter. I want different experiences. So with you, when you open up Abriendo Puertas, tú le abriste los caminos a mucha gente. You open up a lot of doors to other people. And sometimes we do stuff, but we're not mindful that we made a big difference. And that's why I say to you, it's not bragging, mama. It's just sharing with the community what you have done, because people now understand why is it so passionate? You're so passionate about wanting to help others, because you're here to do that. You're serving a purpose.
And you know, the reward, like you said, because forgotten is not the correct word, but because of the pain of letting go of that stage of my life, you know, having the non-for-profit, putting it together, and then not being able to continue to offer those services. Some of those students that I had that participated in that program, they just graduated from college this May. They turned 21. Some of those parents reached out to me and said, hey, you know, my son or daughter is graduating and you were a part of that. And I'm like, what do you mean I was a part of that? And they were like, well, you impacted their lives because Abriendo Puertas, we went to the local colleges in Dutchess County to expose them of college life. So we took field trips to go to Vassar College. We took field trips go to Dutchess County Community College. We took field trips to go to Marist for them to see what college life was like, and if they decided to continue in that career of getting their higher education, what they could experience. And not only, you know, did I expose the children to college life, but also kind of like work study in terms of exposing them to BOCES and letting them know not everybody's made to go to college. You have the option of going to BOCES and working on different skills, because we need plumbers, we need electricians, mm-hmm. we need, you know, people mm-hmm. to do those blue collar jobs, because we all, whether we owned a home or we live in an apartment, in a condo, we need, you know, painters. We need people that work with their hands, and not everybody is able to handle, you know, learning from a book. So that is something that I brought to
totally
the youth
that.
Program for them to kind of figure out where they wanted to go after high school.
Yvette, that was something really special you did. And Sue Serino just did something like that in Ketchum High School, where she brought all these trade. She had a, there was a trade show of all the things that you could do if you didn't want to go to college. Mm-hmm. That when you graduate from high school, you can, like you said, we need plumbers, we need air conditioning people, we need people that fix things, because, you know, not everyone knows how to fix things, you know, and it's important. And we need these skillful people that can connect with that. Fixing things, you know, I cannot try to fix nada. my brother, he said to my mother when he graduated, just that, I am not a book person. I do not like to study. I like to work with my hands. Mm-hmm. Air conditioning and heating system, boom. Mm-hmm. And he's successful doing that. Mm-hmm. So I love that you, okay. So this is where I say to you, Evie, you started an organization that opened a lot of doors to people, and including showing them, you don't want to go to college, then do this. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has that opportunity. How can we continue having those conversations about bringing that to our community? Mm-hmm. Poughkeepsie, Wappingers, how do we still, you see, that's planting seeds, you and I right now, and sharing it with our audience. Those are things that we really want to work on, because clearly, sister, you have experience on that. So how do we continue your work with that nonprofit organization? Oh, and I wanted to say something before I forget. I'm going to be sharing my story about the Hudson Valley Holistic Healing Center in a minute. But I wanted to say to you, don't feel bad that you no longer have that service and you're no longer there to serve them, because I know how you feel. Yeah, I know how you feel. You feel like a sadness, a common grief. You started this organization and you were popping and you went and you took them on road trips, because I saw you took these kids on road trips so they can experience that, Washington, D.C., yada, yada, yada. Yeah, eso tú lo hiciste, let it go. Now it's new, refresh. So yeah, don't be sad. Maybe that's why you don't talk about it, because it kind of hurts you to talk about it because you're not doing it anymore. But you're still doing it because you're showing up and doing this. You contacted me because something told you within yourself to contact Iris, because you know that you and I are having the same conversations. We're from the same neighborhood, guys.
Yes.
We were programmed by our mothers, our Dominican mamas, our Dominican bodeguero, el sartrero, el cleaner, el bodeguero, tú sabes. Mm-hmm. All that energy we flow. So we learn from them and him and her and this and that. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think makes us special. Because we came from the same roots as little girls. Mm-hmm. We went to school in the Heights. We hustled in the Heights. We fell in love in the Heights. We want to talk about the Heights too. You know, we want to talk about the Heights because that's what brought us together, is that neighborhood. Again, community.
Yes. Yes.
So Yvette is not only, you know, does not only talk about menopause, but Yvette is also a social worker who's very caring and very loving and all about community. Why did you become a social worker? I don't know if we have a lot of time, but what inspired you to help the community the way you have been?
Well, before I became a social worker, I was a teacher. And
mira eso, I forgot that.
I was a teacher because as a little girl living in the Heights, I used to babysit. And in babysitting, you know, I found that I had a love for children. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to become a teacher. Then when I was a teacher, I found out that there was a disconnect between school and the home environment. Mm. So I decided to get my master's degree in social work to see if I can close the gap between the student and the home environment. And when I started my work as a social worker, I was an advocate, and that's what I did. I brought parents together in showing the parents how their child functioned within the school program and then doing workshops for parents to work on their parenting skills in order for them to learn to support their child at home when the child came home, whether the child knew how to speak English, whether the child, you know, only spoke Spanish, but empowering those parents, you know, it doesn't matter whether you know how to help your child in homework, whether you know how to speak or read English. What's important is that you sit with your child during homework and say, one of your phrases, let's figure this out. If we cannot do this homework together, let's call the school and find out how we can get support so that way we can learn how to do the homework together, child and parent. So that's what brought me to social work. And within that field, and I worked anywhere from preschool all the way up to college level. And I ended my career at the college level working at Dutchess Community College. And then COVID happened. And when COVID happened, I felt very overwhelmed because not only was I managing working 16 hours a day from home, sitting in front of a computer, talking to students, talking to faculty, talking to staff, and then boom, guess what happened? Perimenopause started. When perimenopause started, it really caused me a lot of anxiety. And I am not an anxious person. I have never been, and I have it under control. And I just felt like, what is happening to me? I did not understand. So I decided to stop working at Dutchess Community College. I decided that I needed a change in my life. And that's when 4 years ago, I, you know, came to Florida and I spent my winters in Florida. And during that time that I was here, that I continued to explore and to find out who is Yvette, who is this woman becoming? That's when I was like, you know what? Through my struggles of menopause, I really got very little help. Let me see what kind of information, because I'm a reader, I love to read, and my daughter's the same way. And in looking for material, that's when I came upon that there's a course out there done by doctors and nurses through Strong Women. It's called Strong Women, the group, the organization that offers this course. And that's when I started to work on my certification to become a menopause coach. And that's my story.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. And I'm happy that we met and I'm happy you're sharing the story, because one of the reasons that I got into what I do, which is Reiki, is because premenopause. You know, I was achy. I had a lot of pain. I had sciatica. I mean, my mind was crazy. I was getting foggy, fog brain. And I was just, it was a mess. And that's how I got. So I guess I'm bouncing into what I do. So that's how I became a Reiki practitioner, because I wanted to figure out how to heal spiritually, because I didn't want to use drugs. I didn't want to use medicine. I didn't want to go on Valium. I didn't want to go on painkillers. I didn't want to do any of that. And the reason I didn't want to is because my mom had addictions to this, and it started when she was premenopause. So you see how these conversations that we're having are so important, because we resonate. We have a story regarding menopause. So when I saw my mother's experience that she was suffering from mental illness, I was concerned about me also inheriting that mental illness, because now I knew I was premenopause. And I figured it out. I did Google. I researched. I went to work and I told my friend, listen, I'm feeling crazy. And she's like, get into Reiki. And Reiki, how can I say this? Me abrió las puertas. Tú ves cómo eso flow. Me abrió las puertas, because my first attunement, and I just want to share this with our audience. My first attunement, after my first attunement, I started dancing like a belly dancer. And I was like, what the heck is that? I never experienced. I mean, a mí me gustaba la merengue y salsa y reggaeton y todo eso, pero I didn't have, tú sabes, ese suave move of a belly dancer. And I woke up that morning and I was belly dancing out, girl. I was like, oh my God, what the heck is happening here? And it was just one after one attunement. And it wasn't even from a spiritual person, Evie. It was just from a nurse. It was a woman that, you know, this works for me. I'm a nurse. I help my patients with this, and I want to share this experience. It was a 2-day thing. And she taught us a lot, but she didn't tell us what really the journey was going to be. Mm-hmm. So with Reiki, todas las puertas se abrieron, but also when you open these opportunities, you also open up challenges. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now I'm with this amazing energy, and then I'm feeling everything, but now I'm feeling too much, and now I'm trying to balance things out. So that's when I got into meditation. And when I got into meditation, that's when I started journaling, and then I got into manifestation. where I learned through The Secret, through John Dispenza, Ms. Dr. Joe Dispenza, on how to start manifesting what you want in life. And I incorporated Reiki, my meditation, and then I got into yoga. I got into Kundalini yoga, and that also connected with my body. And when I connected more with my body, then I understood how heart, body, soul connection, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why when I had the opportunity to open up the Hudson, well, the Hudson Valley Holistic Healing Center was there already. I just came in and gave it a different vibe. It was called the Hudson Valley Healing Center. But I added the Holistic Healing Center because I wanted people to understand that I'm coming holistically. We're having these conversations. Mm-hmm. We're going in spiritually. And that was something that I really wanted to do, Yvette. You know, that was something that I was like a dream come true. But sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for because you can become overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And with that said, you know, I'm always hold that dear to heart. Like, tú abriste los, abriendo los caminos, abriendo las puertas. And I felt sadness at the beginning when I say, well, this has to transition and it's going through a transition right now, which we're trying to bring in people that want to work with us and stuff or not. But in the meantime, I'm trying to stay strong and be there for other people that like us doing this and me with other people, because I cannot hold on to the fact that I did something and now it's failed. It didn't fail because I met you. Because of the center. I met other people because of the center. I met beautiful, beautiful, wonderful energies because of the center. So I'm grateful because of the center, but I have to let it go in order for me to move onward. Mm-hmm. You know, even this week was kind of challenges because yo tenía mi mente, I had it in my mind and I was like, you know, and I was like, no, let it go. You have to move onward. So as a Reiki practitioner, you know, I'm here to kind of facilitate when you're feeling some kind of way. You got to let it go and let things flow, because if you don't, you get stuck in the mud. And if you get stuck in the mud, you go back to doing your things the old ways. Mm-hmm. So through meditation, yoga, breath work, stretch work, that's how I learn to let go. And that's what I want to help people with. I want to facilitate that. I want to help people with those instructions on how to work your body to connect with your mind and your heart. And letting go of what no longer serves you, you know, tú abriste eso, you started that nonprofit, but look what's happening now. That nonprofit is resurfacing again.
Yes. And I'm glad, you know, what resonates from what you just said is that sometimes you have something good happening, but because of life circumstances, it takes a shift. And then that shift can bring other positive energy into your life, other positive experiences in your life. And that helps with healing, you know, and wrapping everything up to mental health and menopause, it's all connected. And the reason that I say that it's all connected is because when you have a certain experience in life, and perhaps it doesn't go the way that you envision it, it doesn't go the way that you feel that you're manifesting it, it takes a toll. And that toll can really pull you down and get you stuck in the mud. And in pulling yourself out, like you said, it's not easy to pull yourself out, but using those tools, and we have talked about many tools on the show, we've brought on many different guests that have talked about movement, that have talked about eating healthy and addressing our mind, you know, our spirit and physical energy also to heal, because it's all connected. We're not just one thing, one person, and it's not a one shop show. You need to incorporate many things in your life in order for it to heal.
Absolutely. There has to be, you're going to love this word, by the way, discipline.
I laugh because Iris and I just recently had a conversation lately that it involved the word discipline.
So, and she's right. We have to have discipline. We have to have some kind of ritual. Mi mamá se levantaba a las 5 de la mañana to read the Bible. I told, we had these conversations. I get up early and I meditate, listen to the birds, do my exercise, my 10 body workouts that I do in the morning to open up, because we're flowers. I don't want to get in too much, but we're flowers and we have to wake up in the morning. We have to wake up all of our senses and we have to send out the intention of the day through meditation. That's how I do it. Let me just share a little bit about that. How do I manifest my day? Through meditation. I set the intention. I set the purpose. This is what I want to happen. And it happens, but you have to learn through rituals, through discipline, through prayer and believing in yourself on how to create these disciplines within you so then you can start cultivating a new you. We are here to renew constantly. This is me renewing from the Hudson Valley Holistic Healing Center. I was so grateful and I'm so grateful. And I don't know what's going to happen, but this is me renewing me and letting you know that no matter what's collapsing around you, Yvette said it, collapsing around you, you have to stay paused and you have to stay together and you have to stay with grace and you have to keep everything that's coming with boundaries, you know, but accepting and realizing it's there. How are you going to handle it? With grace and handle things one thing at a time. That's another thing. Don't try to tackle too much. Don't try to tackle too much. In your ways, you know, even though tú me estás enseñando, she's teaching me don't tackle too much because you want to have integrity. That's another word. I'm sure she's happy I said. You want to have integrity on what you do. And if you're all over the place and you're in your head and you're not connecting with heart, your body's hurting and it's in pain and you're in menopause, you're a hot mess. Mm-hmm. So that's why we started this, because we are both very, we understand menopause because we saw mama and my grandma and we've had this experience. And Yvette has a wonderful, you know, she started such a wonderful organization and she's a social worker. So she's got all these superpowers to kind of recipe up a beautiful conversation on how to stop feeling some kind of way when you're in menopause.
And with that being said, I will be returning to New York. And once I return to New York, Iris and I are working on perhaps having a location. It's still, you know, I'm putting it out there because it's positive energy. And I want our audience to know where I can begin to take clients and talk to women about menopause and help them heal. Just recently last week, I did a roundtable here with a group of women that are great executives, women, and entrepreneurs. And the roundtable was geared on the menopause conversation and how can they continue, you know, to stay strong with the struggles of being in that stage of life. Because Iris and I believe life does not end just because women enter menopause. It just begins. It just begins.
I'm 62 years old. Menopause ain't gonna get me, and menopause definitely didn't get you. So with that said, we want to teach women on how to keep that fire going and keep your beauty going too, because bottom line is que cuando se te entra la menopausia, you're feeling some kind of way energetically, emotionally. That's where I talk about emotions and energy and balancing your chakras and accepting the new version of you. And how are you going to improve the new version of you? How are you going to keep your skin glowy? How are you going to keep your arms strong? How is you going to keep your skin from getting crepey skin? What can you do?
Well,
we're working
on
that.
Answers. You want to know? I have all those answers.
We're working on that because we also want to give you what we're working on. You know, we're working on trying to get all of this because it matters. It matters from the age of 35 until you're 80.
That's right.
You know, that's when it starts.
I have an 85-year-old mom, and due to the fact that they did not have enough information or research at that time, her, you know, she has suffered a lot because of her menopause symptoms and stage. But on that note, Iris, we need to end our show, and can you please give a shout-out to our sponsor?
Mental Health America, Dutchess County, Andrew O'Grady, thank you so much for your sponsorship. Thank you for hosting space for the community. You know, they have comprehensive care for people that are definitely looking to finding out how to rebalance themselves and feeling better of themselves. They're located at 253 Manson Street in Poughkeepsie. They also have a very nice veterans program. You know, they believe in keeping that veteran going. And you know, they have amazing partnerships with organizations with veterans. So please look into that with Mental Health America of Dutchess County. Thank you so much for your sponsorship. We are the Vital Women from Washington Heights living in Dutchess County and trying to, you know, help women get it together. And that's what we're here for. And we are Yvette and Iris. I'm grateful for you, sister. Thank you so much. I appreciate
you.
Until the next one, episode 14, look out for it. And and we love you. Thank you, everyone, for watching us. We really appreciate you. Thank you. Bye, Mama.
This podcast is brought to you by MHA of Dutchess County and produced by CMJW Entertainment.